Hey, welcome to another episode of the New York Comedy Club podcast brought to you by Paper House Network. I am your host, Nick Angelo, joined today by the boss, Emilio Savone. Emilio, how are you? Coming to us live from Florida.
I'm living the dream, Nick.
Living the dream. You look great. Super tan. Beard's coming in nice. This guy, Florida suits him well.
I'm like a retiree out here. I've had seven. I've had 17 cigars in 6 days. And I have a golf cart that I drive around, and I look as much of a douchebag as I possibly can, and I love it.
Well, that suits you so much. So I'm glad you feel at home at least. We are joined by the very talented, fresh off her major motion picture debut, Carlino. Carly, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah, I'm excited you're here. I'm glad you're here. Obviously, you just made your picture debut with The King of Staten Island. The movie is fantastic.
Thank you.
Just want to say that. That's an overall fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely go check it out. And Carly, you were great in it.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I have like a little part in it, and I feel like it was so fun to just be. It was fun to be a part of it and work with my friends and just like meet people, you know, meet Judd and stuff for the first time. It was like kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie to watch if you're in the comedy business, because there's so many comics that are in it.
Yeah,
even like, you know, Jessica Kirsten has a really small role in it, and she, you know, I don't want to give away any of the plot for people who
haven't seen
it, but you know what she does in the movie is like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And then yeah, you know, like Derek Gaines, Ricky Velez, like everybody who's been in the movie are like,
yeah,
they really shined, and it was cool because you're like, oh hey, I know them. I know them. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But the movie itself was great. We have Dave Cyrus on the podcast often, and we have been talking about the film for a while. So I'm really happy for him that it's actually a success. And yeah, it was just so good. I mean, Emilio, you saw the movie, right? You enjoyed it?
I saw it twice, actually. because, you know, the first time, it's weird to watch a movie with so many people that you know in it.
Yeah.
And Carly, I don't know, you know, I'm sure it's even weirder watching a movie that you're in. But the first time, it's just weird because like I'm watching, and that's why I thought Carly was so great, because, you know, I didn't feel like I was watching Carly. I felt like she, you know, it was like, clearly it was her, but like, even though like you were in a few scenes and you had good scenes though, like you had real interaction, you were in good scenes,
yeah.
Even your scene was in the trailer. So
right.
You were all over the place, you know, in terms of at least promotion and everything. But it took a while for me to get used to, you know, kind of separating the person from the characters. And I wanted to rewatch it. And I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I loved it the first time. But like, I was like, you know, I got to watch it to really kind of get more. Because the first time around, it's just like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, you're just trying to like kind of get yourself into the movie versus the person that you know.
But right.
I really loved it, and I thought it was heartfelt, and I think honestly, like, I think it was one of Judd's best works since probably 40 Old Virgin.
Yeah, I agree. And it's true too, trying to like disassociate the person that you know in it, because it's like every scene there's a comic in it. I mean, Bonnie McFarlane was in it, Rich Voss was in it,
Lisa Traeger.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Carly, what is the process for like you in terms of getting casted? Because you know everybody in that film. Does Pete or does Ricky or does Dave say, hey, Carly, I think you'd be right for this? Or do you have to tell your agent, hey, can you submit me for this? Or is it done in a very polished way? Or is it more casual, like, hey, Carly's part of our crew, we want her in the film? But what can you talk about it a little bit?
It was definitely more casual. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't go out for major movies. I don't like, that's not, I think there's like a hierarchy of people and actors that get certain auditions, right? Like more seasoned people get more auditions. So I don't even know if I would have gotten the audition for the movie, period, if I didn't know anybody involved in it. But the way it happened was I had known about it for a long time. Pete had mentioned it to me. Ricky had mentioned it to me. And Pete was saying, like, you would be perfect for this, you know, because I'm from Long Island. They were trying to, like, kind of, that's like my typecast anyway. So they were trying to get people, not only people that they knew, but people who are from New York that fit into like that role. So Pete was like, I'm looking for like the perfect role for you. And then, later, I would say like months later, like I didn't ask, I was just like, okay, if that happens, that's fucking awesome. You know, but I wasn't gonna ask him about it. And then months later, yeah, he called me and was like, we got you a part. It's a good one. And, you know, he's like, you're not all over the movie, but you have a great, like, little role in it. So I was just like, holy shit. You know, I was just like, I felt very much in me fashion. I was like, I feel bad. Are you sure? You know, because he okay. like really, they all really went to bat for me, which I didn't realize until I got there. You know, I felt really nervous because I was like, oh my God, if I don't do well, I'm going to embarrass Pete and Ricky and Dave, who have been like vouching for me this whole time. So I wanted to make sure that I did a good job. And luckily I did because of them, you know, because you have that chemistry and I felt more comfortable on set with my friends and stuff like that. So it worked out really well.
And how many days were you actually on set?
I was only on set two days.
And were you able to kind of, was it just you're there for your scenes and then you left, or were you hanging out watching some of the other developments and the other scenes? Like,
I saw a couple, I want to say, did I see one or two? I think I may have seen two scenes being filmed the 2 days that I was in. The ones outside the school, like walking the kids into school. I saw those being filmed, but I didn't have like headphones on or anything. So I didn't know what was happening or whatever. But it was just cool to see. I mean, and it's also like how you felt watching it on TV. That's how I felt watching it happen. I'm like, what? Like my friends are in a fucking movie.
I know.
it's so weird.
This is what, again, for me was kind of the head trip was I've seen a lot of people that I know in a movie. Yeah.
Right.
In like a random webisode or movie or in a random thing they do that's 8 minutes. You don't see a lot of the people that you're that tight with or close with in a full feature, big time release. I mean, this is Judd Apatow.
Like starring in it,
And did you see the finished product before it came out this past weekend?
Yeah, I went to a screener. This was like before COVID. So I'm really happy that we had it. There was like a little screener in New York in a tiny little theater. And that was like months ago, but I got to see it in its full entirety. And it was just like, I loved it. I loved it the first time I saw it. I had read the script, but you know, the movie was a little bit different than the script because everybody's like improvising and stuff like that. So it was cool to see it actually in full, you know, being made. And I feel like Burr, I mean, what a fucking perfect casting.
Mm-hmm. He was good.
He was unbelievably
good. He's like incredible.
It was I almost forgot it was Bill Burr halfway through the movie. I was watching the character and I was like, oh yeah, that's Bill Burr.
But yeah.
I kind of want to get into that with you. Is so when you get the role, you know, you said, you know, Pete and Dave and Ricky kind of vouch for you. You get the role. What does the role call for? I mean, does, you know, is the character already developed and they're like, just play it like this? Or did you have a little bit of range to improv and like make character choices? I mean, what was that like?
Yeah. They had like a character description for me. So it was like pretty much, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like Staten Island girl. And they had given me the script and it was like, I went to my acting coach because I was like, I want to, of course, make sure that I do this the best that I can. And I did a, you know, lesson with him. And I felt like, okay, we got the lines down. Cause I was just nervous about like forgetting my lines. And then the day of, I had gotten there, I saw Ricky at his trailer, and he was like, don't even worry about the lines. Like, you don't even have to, like, don't stick with the lines. Like, you're going to just, we're going to have fun. And I, that fucked me up, because I'm like, oh my God, wait, no, I prepared, like, I was nervous to, like, improv on the spot, you know?
Yeah.
And then it ended up being so much fun to do it that way, because that's kind of how Judd works. He's like, you know the premise of the scene, you know where you're supposed to go with it, you know the important parts, like, that are going to lead you from one place to another, but he really lets you have fun. Mm. Like, he really, really, like, everything is just like, all right, well, you guys just talk about it and we'll see what happens. You know, you guys get warmed up and we'll see what happens. So that was really cool. So there definitely was room to improv. And I feel like we, you know, I kind of tried to build up the character in a little, you know, to kind of make it my own in a way.
Yeah. Did Judd give you any direction at all? Or was it just kind of like, hey, you're killing it. You know, did he say anything?
No, he didn't say anything when I was, doing it, you know, nothing in terms of like, okay, let's try it. This actually, he, at the end, when we were done filming the scene, he would say, okay, now let's run through it. And you say this and you say that. So he would like have, like, as we were improvising, he would be writing down what we were saying and, or somebody would be writing it down. And then when we were completely done, he would say, let's try this conversation that you guys had again. Let's try it in this way. So that was like a cool thing too. I had never really worked with a director, especially somebody as like prominent as him. And it was just so funny because they were like, we had gone to Six Flags a few days before, and I had gone with Pete and Belle, and they were like, oh my God, you're going to think it's so, like, you're going to be in shock when you see how Judd does things. And I'm like, why? They were like, he literally has a megaphone and he'll like yell through the, not yell, but he'll talk through the megaphone and tell you what to do differently, which I guess nobody does, but I wouldn't have known because I've never worked with anybody before. So I thought that was like kind of cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's incredible to think that like you're sitting there with Judd Apatow. Like, were you like a starstruck at all, or like not starstruck, but like, were you just like kind of like looking at him telling people through a megaphone, like, oh my God, that's the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin. You know, that, you know, that's the guy from Knocked Up. Like, holy smokes. I can't believe I'm on the set. Or was the fact that you were there with your friends kind of like, all right, cool. This is just another day of being funny.
Yeah. I was like thinking about it a lot beforehand. I was like, oh my God, because it is intimidating meeting somebody like that. I mean, all of his movies are like my favorite, you know? So even stuff he's directed, stuff he's produced, like, he's just had his hands in so many things that are so nostalgic to me, like just some of my favorite movies. So I was definitely nervous in that way. But then when I met him, I was like, I wasn't even thinking of it like that, because he's so chill. Like, yeah. He came up to me and was like, hey, I'm Judd. Like, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to be like, oh, hi, what's your name again? Yeah. So he was just so chill and calm. And he's very like, he doesn't give you that like Hollywood air of just like, I'm the shit, you know? He's just a regular guy. So I didn't feel intimidated. I'm sure that's also why it was so easy. You know, why it felt so easy and organic to do, because I feel like if I felt he was intimidating, I probably wouldn't have done as well.
You know, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Judd as well, like, loves just being around comedians, you know. I mean, he's a comic himself. And, you know, I think he got very, very big in doing like the 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up in those movies. But then you see as his career just has gotten so big, he's gone into more projects with comics, whether it's Trainwreck with Amy Schumer and Crashing, and he hangs out at clubs and, you know, Montreal. I mean, you know, he's at JFL every freaking summer. So he's made himself very accessible to the comedy community. And you can just tell that that's where he's his most comfortable. And it's cool to see comics feeling that comfort level around him too, because I think at the end of the day, it's so big now that he gets to really work with the people he wants to work with. And those people are comedians.
Right. I know, it's true. He definitely loves comedy. He loves comics. So it's just like, And I feel like he always probably has, even before he got big. Cause I know he was close with like Gary Shandling and like, you know, a bunch of other comics when he was young, like when he was younger. So I think it's just really cool for him to be so involved in the scene and, you know, to give people the opportunity. I feel like he's definitely one of these people that like, he likes the underdog. He likes the unsuspected person that can be a star, but you know, maybe other people would glance over.
Yeah, I think he understands. He's one of the few people that has tapped into the idea that comedians, especially stand-up comedians, have that acting gift, because a comic has to be able to paint a picture for a crowd of strangers with just their words and just their facial expressions on stage. And that goes a long way in acting. You know, that's a big part of acting. And I think a lot of stand-up comics, whether they know it or not, actually kind of possess that gift. And I think he's tapped into that. I mean, like, look at Bill Burr's performance. That was incredible. I mean, Ricky Velez, that performance by him was absolutely amazing. Like, I was proud to be like, I know that. I know him. Like, it was just like, holy smokes. He was incredibly good. And even Pete, like,
he was great.
Pete was fantastic in it. Yeah. Like, I wanted to be like, thank you for doing that movie, because it was, you know, very much based on his real life. And it was just kind of, it was very heartfelt. And, you know, I actually told Dave Sires at the end of the movie, I sent him a text saying, like, you know how hard it is to make a drama like that funny? And you did that. And the entire cast, including yourself, were just really, really good at doing that, you know, making light of a dark situation. And I just thought it was a really, really good movie. And if you have not seen it yet, go see The King of Staten Island. It's tremendous. So good
thank
job.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys liked it.
And Carly, you know, what of all the things that you've done, right? Because you've done, and that's what's so interesting about something like this, because you have a big following and you are someone, you know, who is, you know, you have celebrity status, right? And then you go on this big production, this big movie, and then you're kind of like, I don't know, you're kind of like on kind of the lower scale of that particular production.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that without it coming across as a bad way. But you know what I mean? Does that mess with your head a little? Like, you're like, well, when I do this shit for MTV, I'm kind of like I'm the person.
Right.
And now I'm here and I have to kind of readjust myself. Like, does that fuck with you a little bit or what's that? Or like, are you finding too, like, you must have so many new fans who must be like, oh, who is that person? They look you up and they were like, oh shit, this actress is actually a stand-up who has done all these things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting going into something new for the first time. It's really scary, you know? Like I said before, you kind of like with something like that, I didn't have, even though I had done so much work with MTV and, you know, hosting stuff and shit like that, I feel like it's so different because I had nothing to, like, no proof that I was capable of doing this for anybody else or for me. I don't know if I could do this either. So we're all kind of just rolling the dice. Was hard.
And what do you think preps you better for what you just did? Did you think stand-up was a better education for you, or was it just being in front of all the camera all those years, you know, with Guy or Girl Code and MTV and just all the stuff you do? Like, or is it kind of a mix of both?
Yeah, I feel like it might be both. I think that the being comfortable in front of the camera was very helpful. And also I think that I wouldn't have been able to do well and feel, you know, as comfortable if I wasn't as familiar with stand-up or I didn't have so much experience in stand-up because we were improvising so much, you know, because it was just like, all right, you guys have fun. And he trusted that we all could do that and have just a funny conversation and kind of like keep it going. So I think that was really helpful. I probably wouldn't have been able to do as well otherwise.
Well, do you now have the acting bug? I mean, is this something you want to start pursuing a little bit more than you were, or you kind of want to get back into hardcore?
She doesn't have a choice, man. They're going to be coming at her now.
I wish. I definitely, I think that it's something that I've always wanted to get into. And it's also interesting too, because I do have experience with TV, but not really that much experience with like real, like acting. So it's been interesting to, you know, kind of try and make that transition in my career where it's like, okay, you know, there's certain people that are taken seriously for things, or, you know, given things first, or not given, but you know what I'm talking about. So I've always wanted to get more into acting, but I think that this will be a helpful, like, credit to have, in order to be like in a little bit more in that scene.
Well, speaking of acting, you are playing a Staten Island girl. Did right. you tap into your Long Island self to get into
yeah. that character? Yeah, it was so funny because Ricky and Pete had called me one night, like before I was going into film, and they were like, "You're perfect for this. Like, you're this role is you. So you don't even have to act. Like, it's like this girl is like absolute trash. Like, you're fine." And I was like, "Okay." And they were like, "No, like you don't. I mean, don't even worry about it. You're gonna be fine." And I was like, "Okay, you guys." But yeah, I tapped into yeah. I tapped into my Long Island for sure.
Hey, Carl, you know, you never know. Judd has a knack for taking characters from films and creating movies based on those characters that weren't the central character right. in one movie. So maybe a queen of Staten Island is in your
the queen of Suffolk like, County. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to make her. We're going to do something on her.
That's so funny. That's what happened with Pete. Pete was in Trainwreck for like 3 seconds.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You know, he finds these gems and he commits, like you said earlier, he likes, you know, Judd Clear likes to tap into that kind of thing where he's like, oh, he sees something and he likes to build it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I find really cool too, and, you know, I don't want to harp too much on it, but I think it's important to bring it up. You know, your girl code days and also, you know, guy code, girl code, that whole thing. When you look back, or I got to say, when I look back at that cast, it's kind of unbelievable how well all of you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And I just thought of this, you know, this morning because I was like, oh, here, what's some things I want to ask Carly? But do you guys all, I mean, obviously you guys are all stand-ups, but when I think back about the cast, right, you have you, who's doing great. You know, aside from King of Staten Island, you're still doing a lot of stuff on TV. You had the we're going to talk about the Netflix special you had that you're going to be taping eventually, right? You got Pete, who's doing what he does. Andrew Schultz.
Right.
You know,
Charlemagne,
geez,
Nicole Byer,
Chris, you know, yeah. DeStefano, Jermaine Fowler.
Yeah.
I mean, Jermaine is playing Eddie Murphy. So
Desus and Miro.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Those guys. So Ryan Lynn was the creator of the show, right?
Yes.
Did he have like a magic eye, or was there something in the sauce? Like,
it's so interesting. What is it about?
So anyway.
I think about that all the time because I'm like, wow, I think about it all the time. I'm like, pretty much everyone on this show had gone on to have really wonderful careers. And not only just in that like genre, like the talking head genre. I mean, Charlemagne is like going viral every day.
He's now. A movement. He's a
huge movement. And then like Nessa was on it and she's doing great things. And Little Duval, I mean, it's just like a really an all-star cast. But at the time it was, everybody was, you know, that was like some people's first thing that they ever did. It was my first thing. So I think that what it was just like, he was out in the clubs and he was kind of like scouting people. And I guess he was trying to fit a certain like thing where it was like, he wanted something like anybody that watched it, he wanted them to feel like they had a person on the show that was like speaking like, oh, this is my person. You know, so he wanted to feel like it was relatable to everybody in some way. So I feel like he did a really good job in casting in that way because there is something for everyone on that show, especially at the time. I mean, it was just like a really cool thing to be a part of. But I think about it all the time. I'm like, wow, that really was, and I didn't realize it at the time because I was so new. It really was a special thing. And I mean, just what a cast.
Yeah, I mean, did you, while you guys were doing that, were you like, hey, I recognize the talent that's here, and I think we're all going to really be really big one day. I mean, because it is wild. Like you said, like, you guys in on that show have totally jumped. It's not just stand-ups. Like, again, Jermaine had his own sitcom on CBS. The guy had a huge movie coming. I mean, you guys are doing things that is well beyond that world. And at the time, did you, because I can speak from my personal opinion of that whole thing. I remember when Guy Code and Girl Code was big and you and I got to know each other, we had just started at New York Comedy Club, and right. we hadn't even taken over the club yet. And I specifically thought to myself, these comics on this show, they all are so versatile. Like, I remember meeting you for the first time and seeing you do stand up, being like, wow, she's really funny, and she's funny on the show. And yeah. and knowing Jermaine as well as we did. So, like, did you at the time know? Sometimes you just know, like, wow, we're all going to do really great things. Or was it that apparent at that time? Like, did you feel it? Or
yeah, I mean, I definitely felt like everybody was talented. Everybody was really talented, and I always felt like, wow, this is a good cast. This is a great, like, casting. And I loved everyone's work. You know, I was a fan of everybody's stand-up. I listened to Charlamagne's show. I liked what Nessa was doing. It was just like all a bunch of just like, you know, it was an impressive cast. So I did feel that way. I did feel that way about people.
Nice.
It was like the Wu-Tang Clan of comedians.
Yeah, and it's so weird because even if you think like, oh, this person's going to be huge, you never even think, like, some people have even surpassed that. Like, I'll say that about Charlamagne. Like, I, like, had so much respect for him, and I thought he was so incredibly talented. I mean, Charlamagne is incredibly talented. And even now I'm watching him, like, I can't even believe that he's made, like, gone past the fame that I thought he was going to get.
Yeah.
Because he's really, like, interviewing, like, presidential candidates, yeah. and he's on CNN every night. It's just like, holy
shit. He's gotten to a point where if you don't know, and you said, oh, no, Charlamagne, he was on Guy Code, you'd be like, no, he wasn't. That
exactly.
What? Like, it's
exactly.
almost like it's like below him now. Okay, that's how big he's gotten.
That's how big he's gotten. Yeah, then, it's
but
it's
that's like almost the entire cast, though, is kind of like, really, they were on that show? It's like, yeah, it was a launching pad for a lot of stars.
Right. I know. It's so crazy. It's so crazy to look back on it and see that we're actually doing a reunion soon.
Cool.
In a couple weeks.
Hi there. I'm Ankara Savelle. And I'm Shauna Lane, and we're the Gone Girls. Come listen to our podcast, The Gone Girls, on the Paper House Network. We're two comedians based out of New York City, and we podcast bi-weekly or whenever we feel like it. Need to figure out life? Us too. And we do it by interviewing anyone. We dive in deep with comics, improvisers, club managers, doctors, waitstaff, mostly from the comfort of Shauna's Subaru.
We are trying to figure out how to get through this thing called life with our senses of humor intact.
Join the Gone Girls on the Paper House Network.
Well, what I love about the cast, too, and about all the guys that, you know, all of you guys that were on that show is you guys are all real stand-ups. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Charlamagne, I don't think he's a stand-up, but, like, again, you know, Pete's a stand-up. He just happens to be on SNL.
Right.
But, you know, Pete wants to be on stage doing stand-up more than anything.
Right.
You're a stand-up. Schultz is a stand-up. Chrissy D is a stand-up. I mean, Jessa May is a stand-up. So it's really cool to see, because so many people get on a show like that, and they're, like, looking, like, they're almost trying to bi-step stuff and go, okay, now I want to get into movies, or I want to get into this. But it seems like you guys really have stayed true to what is kind of getting you all these opportunities, and that's stand-up comedy. And as someone who is a purveyor of stand-up,
right, I love it
because it's helping our stand-up community, and it's what's going to help us, I think, get through this whole COVID, is that people are ride or die with stand-up comedy. You know,
right. I know. I keep thinking that too. I'm like, I can't wait to get back into the clubs and, like, really, really do it. You know, just, like, really be in a room with a crowd and be up on stage and just feel that again. I mean, it's just like, it's so weird going this whole time. I was thinking last night, like, oh, wow, I wonder when they're going to reschedule the Netflix thing. I'm like, oh, shit, I hope not soon. Because I have shit that I have to fuck. I forgot how to do it. I haven't not done stand-up in this long for I don't even know how long.
Well, so, let's get into that. Let's get into that Netflix special. Like, so explain to everyone who's listening, you know, what was coming and then how it abruptly got halted.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like kind of like a, I don't know really how to describe it, like a showcase, a Netflix showcase show. And they were doing this thing called Netflix is a Joke Festival. So it was a festival that was going to be out in LA. They were shooting all of the shows that were in it, and all of them, I guess, were going to end up on Netflix one way or another at some point. So the whole festival ended up getting canceled, but it was supposed to be like a showcase show of Pete's friends. So it was going to be me, Nico, I think Verzi, Derek Gaines and who else?
Julio and Jordan.
Julio and Jordan, yeah. So I was just like really excited about it, obviously, because I'm like, oh my God, and everybody was going to do 15 minutes. And then it was like, I mean, it couldn't have been crazier timing. Like the week that everybody went into lockdown was South by Southwest, which was going to be the movie premiere.
Yeah.
And then the next week or next couple weeks, we were supposed to be out in LA filming our Netflix stuff. So who knows when that will come back. I mean, I feel like they should just move it to the middle of the mountains somewhere. Like do it in like Denver. You know what I'm saying? Like somewhere where it's not so close, where people aren't so close together. But I'm sure it's going to be a while and I'll have time to work on my material. But I keep thinking, like, I keep writing stuff and I'm like, wow, I can't wait to try this.
Well, so like, are you, I wanted to ask you that. You are writing right now. I mean, how frustrating is it to constantly be writing and not have an outlet for it? I mean,
do you write
social media like some comics to kind of test out some joke ideas, or what's your process?
A little bit, not so much. Like I haven't been tweeting so much of it, but I definitely have been like thinking of stuff and trying to like figure it out. And I'm just like, it is frustrating to not be able to go up and at least try it. But now I have a little list of stuff that I'll do when I get up for the first time again.
And Carly, are you going to tweak your 15 minutes now a bit to make it, because of everything. Again, I was talking to Ricky because, you know, his HBO stuff and everything, because he had his HBO special coming out, and, you know, there was a concern. He was like, well, you know, I might have to mix some of my material up now because it's relevant, right?
It's like, you have to address it in some way. That's why I've been writing so much. I'm like, I want to, you know, at least in the beginning of my set, I want to address the situation. I mean, it's just so crazy. It's like, honestly, if I was looking at my window right now and I saw an alien, if I saw a UFO come down and just land on the building next to me, I'd be like, yeah, honestly, take me away. But yeah, that's normal. That's a normal thing.
Well, apparently that actually happened and no one gave a shit. Apparently that was actually happening.
That's true.
Like, oh, hey, you know, there's a unidentified flying object. We're like, yeah,
right. We can't worry about that right now. Yeah.
Verzi did a whole bit about that at Phoenix. Did you see that, Nick?
Yeah, I did see that. I just say he was very really good job with that.
He's an alien, and no one cares. No one talks about it.
Yeah.
Oh boy, but that's, you know, that's exciting. Now you just said you're doing a reunion. Is that guy code, girl code reunion?
Yeah, I don't know when it's gonna come out, but they're doing a reunion. I think a lot of people that were on the original cast are gonna be on it. I know Charlamagne's gonna do it, Duval's gonna do it, Desus and Miro, me, Nessa, Jessie May. You know, I think they got like a lot of the cast back. But yeah, we're doing it in the next couple weeks. I think the first week of July we're taping, maybe the first few weeks of July, and you know, from our houses too. So then I don't know when it's going to come out, probably soon. Cause I think they want it to be like topical, like quarantine, you know, all the topics are quarantine related for the most part. So hopefully that'll be fun. I think it will.
No,
What's so funny is, like, even a girl code, guy code reunion, it's still going to work really well. Cause you guys are all still so young. Usually when you do reunions, it's like,
I don't feel like that anymore. I'm like, I feel like I'm turning 30 next year. I mean, I started on Girl Code when I was young. So I'm turning 30 next year and I'm like, am I still relatable to, yeah. If I don't have the crazy hair and the fucking, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. Hold on, Amelia. I'll say this. You may agree with me. If there's ever a Girl Code, Guy Code reunion stand-up show, I know a place where just throwing that out there.
Absolutely.
Now, it might be New York Comedy Club in the middle of Wyoming, like you know, Carly was saying Netflix is going to do, but damn it, we'll be somewhere. And you also have, which I love because I've listened to it and your partner in it, it's amazing and you're amazing. Your podcast, Secret Keepers with Emily Willman. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that kind of started as, it's so crazy. So I had done years ago, this like, Snapchat show with MTV where it was like they were doing, it was called Ask Carly. And people would send me an emails and I would answer them. And it was just like a few, I would say it was like maybe a year I did it. I ended up at the end of it, I was like, you know what? We got so many emails that were really good, really relatable. And I felt like it was fun to just give advice on. So that's pretty much the premise of the show. It's like people send in emails, they get answered. And it's been a really fun thing to be a part of and to just kind of start. I always wanted to have a podcast, and then it's like I was kind of nervous about it. For some reason, I don't know why, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I used to also have a podcast with Ricky that we got fired.
Oh,
well, you're going to have to tell us about
yes,
this.
Go on.
It I was don't like, this. It was called Unfollowed. It was on, you know, that, huge, they have such a huge Instagram following, Betches.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So they had given us, a podcast. They had let us do a podcast and I guess we rubbed them the wrong way because I feel like that it was when that whole like fuck Jerry thing came out where people, it was just like this guy's stealing comedians' jokes and, you know, like, and capitalizing on them and making all these money. And he's like, you know, taking a comedian's tweet and like using it as an advertisement. Like, since when is this okay? You know, he has no like creative whatever. And I think that we like, you know, a couple times crossed the line where we were just saying like, you know, these people aren't comedians and blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, you're fired. Well,
the show was called Unfollowed?
Yeah, it was about social media.
Yeah, well, what do they expect then? You know? Life imitates art sometimes, you know? Like,
It's so true. And we never said anything about them. I mean, I think they're a great company and they're really, really an impressive company. I mean, the owners of it are like these young girls. They are like really, really running a business there. So I give them a lot of credit and I really respect them, but I just feel like maybe we we toed the line.
But that's where the comic side of, you know, comes in. You know, so many people, and you know, it happens all the time with us. We'll have like a corporate event or something and they're like, you have the comics, make sure they don't do say this. And they'll say, I'm like, well, dude, then you shouldn't have hired a comic.
Right, because right.
The second I tell a comic not to say something,
yeah, it's like,
they're
going
to say it.
Right, right.
They're going to say it. They're going to say even more. You don't want me to tell them that.
You're so good with that, Emilio. You always, like, you and Amy both always, you know, you have comedians' backs. I appreciate that very much, especially in terms of, like, things that they say that might offend people and, you know, people who write whatever. Like, it's just people who, like, complain about someone's material that was like 5 seconds long in an hour show. I feel like you always have comedians' backs. I think that that's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
That says a lot about a club and it says a lot about an owner. It makes like comedians feel more safe too, to like be involved in a club like that, you know?
Well, I appreciate it. Well, you know, the comedy club is a sacred place and you know, it's got to be, it's really one of the few places where an artist and a comic can be themselves, because you're already being manipulated but you're kind of being told what to do when you're on TV or network TV and you can't say that. So I think if I'm a fan and I get annoyed at people who get so upset that the person isn't, oh, I thought they were going to be different, like they were going to be on TV. It's like, no, like you should be appreciating the fact that you're seeing this raw side to them.
Right.
Schultz, about a year and a half ago, I'm not kidding you, walked like 22 people in one show.
Wow.
They were all there to see, I mean, we were packed that night, but 22 of the people were there to see him. They got up and they left. And
he
apologized to me. And I said, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Just because they saw you on Guy Code, they think that's you. That's not you, dude. You're
right.
They need to do their homework better.
Yep.
Right. And you know? It's like, if you even follow him on social media, you know what you're going to get with him. So it's like, what were you expecting to really hear there?
Yeah. So, you know, but so what... I'm curious now, because you know you're kind of what we would call in the sports world a five-tool player, right? You have your podcast, right, Nick? She has her podcast, she has her movie, she does stand up. You do tons of like hosting stuff,
and she can hit for power.
And you can hit for power. What has been the craziest thing someone has asked you to do during quarantine, like any weird ass shows, any strange cons? Because, you know, obviously the Zoom stuff and all these things are kind of weird. But has there been any kind of out of the box, just strange ass thing that someone's like, hey, you know, or your agents hit you up about doing that you're like, I'm just not fucking doing that? Or have you been pretty open to just do random shit while we're all kind of dealing with what we're dealing with?
Yeah, I feel like I've been more like available and open to do. I've done like a lot of podcasts that I probably wouldn't have either had time to do or wouldn't have gotten like around to doing.
Well, thank
like
you.
Not
you guys. This was the first time that you guys asked me. I, of course, would do this for you guys.
Carly goes,
in the like since the beginning, I feel like there's been people who I've never met that have been like, oh, will you do my podcast? Sure, you know. But I'm trying to think of like weird stuff. It's been difficult to like send in, like there's still auditioning for shows and stuff. So I feel like that's been pretty hard to do because I'm like in my bedroom, you know, acting. I don't have the lighting. I don't have the camera for it. So I feel like that's been like the difficult thing. But in terms of weirdness, I don't think anything too weird. I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are you most, have you been out and about or have you been pretty much just confined to the apartment? Have you ventured out a bit?
At first, for the first month, I didn't leave my house at all. Like not one time, because I was just so fucking scared. But now I go for like a little walk every day, just a little bit. Other than that, I haven't really ventured out. I went to, for Mother's Day, I went to go to Long Island to visit my mom. But that's, and I went for the day. I stayed away from everybody, like in the backyard. We set up chairs because I'm like, I'm not trying to take my whole damn family out. You know what I'm saying? Like my grandma's there. My parents are there. They're not like, they're no spring chickens. So it's like, all right, I got to stay away from them. but yeah, that's the only thing I've really done since the beginning, which is kind of crazy. I went to the beach once. I went to Rockaway Beach.
Nice.
So nice. You can't swim though, because lifeguards aren't on duty this summer.
And us Italians aren't really good swimmers, so we gotta.
Right, I stay on the shoreline. I dip. That's what my mom always did. She would go in the on the shoreline and splash the water, and she would never go under, ever even go like in up to her knees. She would be like, no. And if any of us went in, we were getting screamed at the entire time in water.
Do the cup your hands and just kind of like you're basting yourself.
Right, exactly.
It's amazing how Italians don't know how to fucking swim. I mean, they're so on weird. The damn water. Like my parents both, like my mom kind of can swim, but my dad in water, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
Italy surrounded by water. We should know what we're doing.
They can't swim.
Right.
They can't swim.
I know. My mom definitely can't swim. I can't swim. My dad could probably, he doesn't like, he could not drown. You know, but I don't know if he could swim.
Well, I think a lot of Italians don't know how to swim, but you don't know that because we're very buoyant. All that pasta kind of makes us float a little bit more.
Right, exactly. You know, don't need to know. We don't need to know how.
So Carly, you've been careful. You've been inside. You've been taking precautions.
Yeah.
How eager are you going to be to get back into a comedy club then?
Oh, I'm really excited to get back into a comedy club. I'm very curious at how, you know, it's all going to work in terms of like the crowd and once everything starts moving around. But I'm excited, man. I can't wait to get back out there.
So you'll dive in head first. You won't be like, I'm going to wait a few weeks. I'm going to see what it's
like. Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on what the precautions are like in the club. You know, like, are we going to be like, you know, there's just so many, it's so like multifaceted where it's like, you not only have to worry about the crowd, you have to worry about like the comics touching the same microphone and like being, you know, in the green room close to each other, whatever. But I'm sure that, you know, whatever it is, it's doable. And I'm excited to be a part of it. Honestly, give me COVID. Give me COVID at this point. Give it to me so that I could be immune to it. Yeah. And then that's fucking it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was actually telling Scott this the other day. It's like, why don't we have the vaccine yet? Like, why are we waiting so long? We're worried about side effects, but yet you can market McDonald's and sugar and all the crap that we put in our, but just give it to me. Give me the vaccine so I can go watch a ball game.
Yeah. I do feel like, we've probably built up some type of immunity to it just from like being out and about, like little bits at a time. I do feel like we built something up, because the fact that these protests were going on and there was so many people outside so close to each other, not practicing social distancing, and we haven't had a spike. Yeah. That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah. I agree. I'm on the optimistic side. I know Emilio's on the optimistic side. You know, we're gearing up to kind of open the doors soon. You know, by the time this podcast airs, we will be in phase two already. So right. I'm on the optimistic side. So I'm looking forward, and I can't wait till we open up the doors and have you on stage.
Yeah. Whatever you guys, whatever the thing is, I'm there.
And Carly, does that, what about then like road work? Are you going to be a little more cautious with road stuff or?
Right. That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. Like in terms of comedy clubs in New York, I'll go and do whatever. Like, I'm not going to take extra precautions. I trust that it's going to be fine and it'll be fine. But when I'm saying like, oh, what are the, how is this like machine really going to work? I'm talking about road rooms, because I'm like, then I have to fly somewhere. I have to stay in a hotel. I have to be taking Ubers every night and all of that, you know, but in New York, I'm really not as concerned about it, because at least I'm here, you know?
Well, and people are traumatized in New York to the point right. where they're being really safe. I mean, look, again, I'm in Florida right now, and it's not, you know, I think that you watch the news and it's not like I'm one of these like anti-media guys. I'm not, but you do watch the news and you get the impression that like people are lawless in like mm-hmm. Texas and Florida. They're not.
Right.
They're not. It's not like every restaurant's packed. There's still people are wearing masks. Right. Care. People are, but you know what it is? They're just not traumatized.
Right. Right.
Like I have, like, I'll see, like, you know, I've been pretty limiting in who I'm seeing, but the people I am seeing, which is like my wife's family, they're like trying to give me hugs. And I'm like, stay away
from
me.
Yeah, you're like, I don't want to touch you. Yeah.
I'm dodging them. I'm like, you can't come near me. They're like, it's okay. Oh, you New Yorkers. I'm like, yeah. Ah. So even though like the cases are rising in Florida and it's kind of getting out of hand here, you don't feel it as much. It's
right. Strain.
Whereas in New York, you feel it because you're like, fuck, I can't go anywhere. I literally can't. I can go right now in the backyard and hang out and get some sun and, you know, there's, you know, whatever. There's
right.
shit here. In my apartment, and I actually have this a nice apartment.
Yeah.
I can't, there's not much, you know, I have a
it's
kitchen.
True. You know? Right, exactly. I'm going to venture out and go to the kitchen today.
So,
take
yeah.
a shower.
So I think New York is definitely the safest place to be. Now, what I always love about you, one of my five, I get a kick out of your Instagram stories. So, you know, I love when you did that whole croc thing back in the day.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you now, okay? Because I've seen you've been, I don't know if they're like love letters or these little crushes, but Fauci and Cuomo, you have to choose.
Oh my God. Fauci and Cuomo. Cuomo.
All
yeah.
day?
Yeah, I know. Okay. So Fauci is very impressive. And I knew I was in quarantine too long when I was like finding myself being very attracted to him. I'm very attracted to Dr. Fauci. Also very attracted to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, but I know we're keeping it like in the Italian. So Fauci or, Cuomo, it's gotta be Cuomo. I don't know why, but something about him, I feel like I'm just saying this. I feel like he's going to date like a movie star or something. In the next like year, it's going to come out that he's dating like Jennifer Lawrence or something. But yeah, I'm so into him in a major way. It's very creepy.
And he was married to a Kennedy.
He was married to a Kennedy, which is wild.
Seriously. And like, how pissed is she right now? She's like, fuck.
Oh, forget it. Forget it. Yeah, his kids are Kennedys. You know, they yeah. have that bloodline, which is wild. But I feel like, you know, the thing that sparked my love for him was like that rumor of him having nipple rings. And I did a lot of research on it. And, you know, I was like, oh, those are definitely nipple rings. And then I kind of realized, and the reason why I thought they're not is because he was married to a Kennedy. I'm like, there's no fucking way this guy was going to like pool parties with the Kennedys in the Hamptons with two nipple rings. That's and too you, crazy.
Listen, those Kennedy girls are freaky. One married Schwarzenegger, one married Cuomo.
True.
You fucking know. They might like, I could argue the other end. I say the fact that he was married to Kennedy means he has a fucking penis ring too. Rings all over
He's
that.
He's got a Prince Albert.
He's got a Prince Albert. That's what it's called. I probably should have known the terminology.
Well, it's kind of refreshing that you don't know, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, what's the other option? Because somebody was like, oh, no, it's not nipple rings. It's Band-Aids. And I was like, well, that takes all the fun away from it. Band-Aids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, but
why is he wearing those Band-Aids on his nipples?
Because he's now, chafing, that's I think.
Well, no, that's just boring.
See, I've thought about this. I think clearly he's chafing, which makes it not sexy at all.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And it's funny too, because now he stopped his daily briefings and like, I don't know what to do with myself.
I know. I miss him. I miss him.
I'm like, who the hell is going to tell me to stay inside?
Right. Exactly.
Tell me to wear a mask.
You could tell like after he got so comfortable in front of the camera during those briefings, he started being like sarcastic and like telling jokes. This is a face mask. This is a chin mask, you know, and then talking about his daughter's boyfriends and shit. I'm like, does this guy think he's on the phone with his friend?
He's going to have his own, own podcast. It's going to be wild. It's going to be bigger than the Rogan podcast.
Oh, he would be a millionaire. He would be a millionaire with that.
He's going to do a briefing in a month from now as a reunion, and it's going to be the most highly rated TV show in mid-afternoon history.
I would love that. I would love that. He needs his own show, like just like the Kardashian. He could be the next Kardashian.
Seriously, like he's going to go one or two ways. He's either going to run for president or he's going to start a reality show and be the next Kardashian. That's it. There's no other.
I think it's the latter. I think he realized how awful it is to be the one in charge and
right.
He doesn't want to do this anymore. Now it's just going to be, I'll just stand in front of the camera and cut up.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel too. I feel like people probably scared him in the beginning. Everybody was on board with him. And now I feel like I have no idea what the fuck happened, but I feel like people are like responding to his tweets very angrily.
Oh my God. I saw a woman today. There's this tweet. I'll send it to you when we're done. This woman's going insane. Fuck you, Cuomo. I wore a mask and my oxygen level was 93%. And my doctor told me to take off the mask. It's 98%. And it's like,
right. Oh, I know everything he tweets, there's always people under it. Like, you killed grandparents. It's like, what? You killed the elderly. Like, what?
And it's like,
so he's not going to run for anything after that.
That's why Father Time had to delete his Twitter account.
Yeah.
And this might be the first time that Andrew is more desired than Chris, because Chris was considered kind of like the hottie Cuomo. But now Andrew is like a little brother. And their little banter, it's funny. At first, I kind of liked it, maybe because I'm an Italian and I have a brother. And and I'm just like, enough's enough. But my wife on car is always like, I don't know. She's like, you're just pissed off because, you know, you see you and your brother and them. What they're doing is the same shit you do. I'm like, I don't fight over my mother's affection like these two do.
Right, especially on TV.
Yeah. It's like, no, mom loves me, little brother. No, me. I'm like, all right, guys, just enough. Can you just, Chris, just tell me about the fucking news. And Andrew, can you just.
Right.
Now I miss it.
I know. I missed it too. I always loved Chris Cuomo too. I always loved. Did you see his butt was in his wife's Instagram live? I'm trying to find the video every day.
He is. Have you seen it? I saw it.
You did?
I don't know where. I just saw. I don't know if I can find it.
So wait, was he just walking around in the background with his ass out in the backyard?
First of all, their house in the Hamptons is fucking ridiculous.
Of course it is.
It's insanity how big their house is. And my brother actually knows Chris. Doesn't know him like great, but knows him kind of well.
Wow. Or
knows him kind of, and he knows people who know. But anyway, point is, the house is insane.
Of course, and
He was just like, apparently he was out in the pool in the back going for a dip, just chilling.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, so. But hey,
I'm going to have to look for it. I'm going to have to dig a little deeper.
Well, Emilio
got to play.
Doesn't want to admit it. It's probably a screensaver right now. So
yeah.
He'll send it to us after the show.
Well, if he sends it to me, that'll be my screensaver too.
Seriously. But maybe we can find one of Fauci.
Right? See, that I don't know if I want to see. As much as I love him, it would have to be like, if we dated me and Fauci, we would have to just like go out to lunch. Like, there would be I don't want to see him naked. I don't even want to see him take his glasses off, honestly. Leave them on. I love the character. Yeah. This is what we're going with. I don't want to see your, I don't want to see your butt. I don't want to see your pee-pee. I don't want to see any of it,
Fauci. And he's not allowed to have soup, because I can envision Fauci having soup dribbling down his mouth, you know?
Yeah, he's elderly.
Yeah, he's elderly. No soup for him. But to be fair, I think the love affair with Fauci may have dissipated a bit because he's not on TV as much. Right. If you're on TV as much, you know.
Right. He's not getting as much screen time anymore.
Screen time.
Right. His star is falling.
I don't know why I took us down this road, Carly, but I had to.
I'm so happy you did. This is all I want to talk about is the Cuomos and everybody on CNN.
It's a perfect way to bring a podcast to a screeching halt. So thank you, Emilio, for giving us the natural end that we've always looked for. Carly, once again, thank you for coming in or coming
thank
in.
Thank you, guys.
In, joining us on Zoom. The movie is The King of Staten Island. Carly is fantastic in it. The whole movie is tremendous. We got the Netflix special coming out as soon as we can get it out there. And keep an eye out for the Guy Code, Girl Code reunion coming to. Is that going to be on MTV?
Yeah, it'll be on MTV.
Fantastic. Anything else you got going on? The podcast?
Oh, Secret Keepers Club podcast.
Cool.
Thank you guys so much.
Carly, you kick ass. Thank you so much. And I'm really excited for you. I really genuinely am because, you know, you were great in that movie. You were natural in the movie. And I think the role that you had in that film, you always like that. That is something like those, like kind of like you and I texted a little bit about, and you're like, well, I have a really small scene, but sometimes people do so well in those scenes that people need to see more of those people. And I think that's going to happen with you. I think casting directors and people are going to hit you up like crazy.
Thank you.
Want to do something with you there because you were really good.
Thank you. I hope so. I hope so. I'm trying to put that energy out into the universe too. So I appreciate you. You were so nice about it, Emilio. You were so like complimentary of my, cause I've been like, okay, I just have a little tiny thing. Don't get too crazy about it. You know, cause I have to like kind of bring it down because I'm like, well, if nothing ever happens with it, I'm still happy. You know?
From texting with you, I was expecting you to have like literally not
like in the background line. Or
like
something.
You being like hi, and that's it.
Yeah.
But you were like talking. I'm like, and I looked over and I go, she has a lot of fucking lines. And then you were in another scene. I'm like, this fucking liar. She's in another scene. I was like, if she shows up in three scenes, I'm not believing anything she says.
Right, she's a liar. Yeah,
but anyway, I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait for the Netflix special and everything.
Thank you. More importantly,
selfishly, Carly, I can't wait to see you back on our stage.
I can't wait. I'll put the microphone at New York Comedy Club in my eye at this point.
I would not do that, but okay.
There it is. Well, thank you, Carly.
Thank you. It was
a great chat with you. Thanks for listening to another episode of the New York Comedy Club podcast brought to you by Paper House Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the New York Comedy Club podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, and leave a comment. And for tickets to the club, check out newyorkcomicclub.com.